Hello and welcome to Press TV's debate. I'm Marcy Hashimi. The presidential and parliamentary election in Turkey, set for Sunday, will be one of, if not the most important poll in modern Turkey. The victor will have unprecedented power, and President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has some serious competition this election. Stay with us as we take a look at Turkey's election in this debate. We're going to cross over to Istanbul, starting this off with Press TV's Roshan Saklam. Well, Roshan, fill us in on the latest situation on the ground this night before the start of the election.
Yes, actually, Marzia, a few hours ago, all six political parties in Turkey have stopped promoting their candidates for the presidential seat. And also the candidates for the parliament have also stopped their campaigning in preparation for tomorrow's big day. And as you said, that it is the most important election in the modern history of Turkey, because it will help shift from a parliamentary system into a presidential system, which will grant the president more executive powers and more powers than the ones that he already has. Now, the candidates are six, and the most prominent ones are our President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, who is now the current president of Turkey, and his party have been ruling Turkey for the past 16 years. Also, the main opposition party candidate Muharrem İnce, and who people and all polling stations are saying that he has a chance to take Erdogan into another round of elections, which will be held on July 8th. If they go to it. However, some of the political analysts are saying that Erdogan is going to win from the first round if he got the majority of the votes. Now, also, we have other candidates from the newly established EYİ Party, Meral Akşener, who also people see her as a candidate that could get some amount of votes and more than the other candidates, who are the HDP pro-Kurdish party, Salahattin Demirtas, who is in Edirne prison now on terror charges, waiting to be convicted. Also, we have the Vatan Party candidate, Doğu Perinçek, and the Felicity Party, Temel Keremullah Oğlu candidate. Now, tomorrow we are going to see the elections from, it will start at 8 a.m. and it will end at 5 p.m. And then the ballots will be counted. At 12 midnight, the approximate result will be revealed. However, the accurate result will be revealed a week from now, when the Supreme Electoral Committee reveals the final result. So tomorrow we can have 90% approximate result.
Thanks so much for that update on the ground in Istanbul, Roshan Saklam, Press TV's correspondent. Now I'd like to welcome our guest to the program, political observer Hatem Yavuz out of Istanbul, and executive intelligence review, William Jones out of Washington, D.C. Thank you both for being with us. Well, let's start this off in Istanbul with Hatem Yavuz. Now, many experts are saying that this will be the most important election in modern Turkish history. Your thoughts on that?
Well, it is, because it's been a parliamentary system for the past almost century, almost. And now it's gone into a presidential system, which gives some executive powers to the president himself, him or her, whoever wins. And the basic core of this system is Turkey's geopolitical position at the moment and for the future. Number two, it's the bureaucracy of the parliamentary system, which has failed with many coalitions and provocations for military coups and so on. So I think Turkey has been tired of this parliamentary system, which has been very weak and full of obstacles and bureaucracy in terms of moving forward. So therefore they want, the presidential system seems to be a change for the right direction, but we have to see in the future. Okay. Because the system is not an American system. It is not a South Korean system or a Brazilian system. It's kind of like a combined of all these systems put in one with a kind of local touch.
Okay. Well, let me get William Jones in on this discussion. Your perspective on this new system, as our other guest has just talked about, do you think that it is a positive, or some say actually it almost gives the president dictatorial types of power? Your take?
Well, obviously it's a move in a more authoritarian direction. President Erdogan has indicated during this entire latest period that he wanted to accomplish that. What his ultimate goals are is anybody's guess, but it certainly will increase the power of the executive and undermines a lot of the parliamentary democracy that had existed in Turkey during recent years. It's gotten a lot of notice in the press here. Articles today in the Washington Post and New York Times, an editorial warning about the destruction of democracy. But it's not getting a lot of attention from the administration itself. The U.S. has had a rocky but nevertheless stable relationship with Turkey. And if President Erdogan does lose, it's unclear what direction Turkey's going to go, so that there's not much official reaction here. But it will be if President Erdogan wins, a more authoritarian system. There will be more control by the president, and that could be very troublesome and cause a lot of chaos within the nation itself.
Well, what about that, Hatem Yavuz? After Erdogan, the closest contender now for the presidency is Muharrem İnce. Your take on that? Does he really have a chance at beating Erdogan, or at least taking the poll to a runoff?
I think it may go to a runoff. And it's not Muharrem İnce, who is a relatively good speaker on the stage. However, he lacks, founded credibility in pursuing further in terms of economics, because the country is more in the economic side rather than the political side. Okay, so because of 15 years of 5 to 7% growth rate is relatively good growth rate, and so we've got to look at these kind of trajectory numbers, and Muharrem has which I have all respect for, but has not given a very good opposition position for the economy. I think there will be a second round because of Meral Akşener, the third in on the runner-up. She is the one that's kind of chipping off the percentages on both sides. But when it comes to our guest, who says that Turkey is moving towards an authoritarian dictatorship, or whatever you want to call it, so my question is, are you saying that the United States, who has a presidential system, is a dictatorship, and every other country in the world that has a presidential system is a dictatorship? Now, I mean, this president, President Erdogan, has been on the streets, open in public, open to criticisms, for the last, during the campaign, for the last 2 months. Like, he's been criticized like you would not believe it, worldwide and locally. And I don't see, I think I find that a little bit democratic, don't I? I mean, don't you?
Well, William Jones, what about that? Let's look at this new system that will be implemented, called the presidential system. Tell me, what about that system you think it will make it more authoritarian-like?
Well, this depends on the reforms that Erdogan wants to push through there. There's been a lot more control. Obviously, Turkey is a democracy. They're having a democratic election. And we're waiting with bated breath sometimes how it's going to turn out. So obviously, that is a key indication of democracy, and I don't think that's going to go away. But there has been more power placed in, under the president. President's control. A presidential system is often very effective. We have one in France. We've had that in the United States since the get-go. It is a presidential system, but there is a balance of power. The president doesn't have absolute power. He is not a monarch, and therefore it represents a democracy with a certain balance of power. Whether or not that will be the case, in the face of some of the reforms that Erdogan's putting through is hard, very hard to say. But I don't see it as a dictatorship. I don't think it's possible to transform Turkey into a dictatorship. They know what a dictatorship is. It didn't work very well, and I don't think it's moving in that direction. But I think it will be much more control on the executive front. Now, if he has a policy that is beneficial to the minorities, to the Kurds, and if he can maintain some kind of a credibility among large sections of the population, this is not necessarily a bad thing. But if he moves in the direction of clamping down on all kinds of opposition, it's going to cause a lot of dissent within the population, and you might be heading towards a civil war-like situation again.
Well, Hatem, when we look at the possibility, because you also mentioned the possibility of a runoff, I want to look at that side of things. If there is a runoff, is it more likely that all who are supporting the other candidates and not Erdogan would actually unite, and that is a possibility, first time in a long time, that Erdogan could actually be defeated?
Everything's a possibility if we are in a democratic system as we are today, as you can see it. So everything is a possibility. However, a lot of the people in Turkey from my field, you know, in my surroundings as well, it's kind of like a 50-50 situation where I have people who are just simply tired of having President Erdogan as the leader of Turkey for all these years and just tired, although they thank him and they praise him. And then you've got the ones who are just simply totally against him from day one. So it's a 50-50, it's a lot more like a heads and tails situation. You know, you've got to flip the coin. However, his strong sides and the positive sides that are the economic structures that has been executed, not just by words, but by implementations. The other side of his situation is, which in some way it's a kind of a catch-22, is there is a problem, and we have a problem on our borders called Syria and Iraq as well. And this problem was continued and prolonged during the presidency and prime ministership of Erdogan. And only he knows best, because he's been in it for so long, is to solve it. And right now, he is trying his best with the Astana agreement and with all the other agreements that are on the table, working it through very thoroughly. And we're hearing less and less violence and less emigration of Syrians into neighboring countries like Turkey and Lebanon and Jordan. So it's a kind of a catch-22 situation, because it's very serious on the board at the moment. Now, it's peace in a kind of a strange way. And a new leader in power is still an amateur on this side of the equation. Mm-hmm.
All right, what about that, Hatem Yavuz, speaking about the Syrian situation, because there are many that say that actually Erdogan was mistaken in getting involved in Syria to begin with. And because he has done that, Turkey has faced many repercussions from getting involved against the ruling government of Syria. Your take on this? There are many that say that Syria, also the crackdown after the attempted coup, both will play very big in the elections, as those people, many, are quite critical of Erdogan's policies in dealing with both these situations. Your take?
Well, before 2016, it was, as you know, we had a two-state in Turkey. One, the Gulen kind of state, or some other state, and I realized one thing from observing it, that Erdogan and his close team that are still in power and in governance were really seriously betrayed. Now, and also betrayed by the Obama government as well in the United States, because there was a plan of having a no-fly zone and an all war zone, making a buffer zone, and that was all thrown in the drain, thrown in the garbage. And Turkey had to go alone and do it itself after the Russian downing of the Russian plane, which almost created a war between Russia and Turkey, and realized that it wasn't, it was the other state that was running the country in the wrong direction. So I think, in my opinion, that President Erdogan has corrected himself to the reality of the situation on the ground in Syria.
Okay, let me get William Jones in on this. William Jones, same question. You're taking that. How is that going to play in this election?
Well, look, it's very important. Obviously, when the coup did occur, harsh measures had to be taken in order to restore order. Now the question is, how do we get to a point where we have more of a situation of normality and away from the emergency measures that have been taken? Syria is playing an important role in this. Obviously, the Russian intervention created a possibility for resolving this situation. President Erdogan has worked with Russia on this, and he has also worked together with China with regard to the regional issues. He is supportive, as the other speaker indicated, of the Astana agreements, and that represents a certain amount of stability in the region. Whatever the, may have been the case of Turkey getting involved to Syria, they are now playing a role of creating stability. And the real question in the election, I think, to foreign observers and maybe also to political observers in Turkey is that if there is a new government, what direction are they going to take with regard to that? Remember, there are a lot of people internationally looking at this election. People in NATO, for instance, were not very happy about the collaboration between Turkey and Russia. They may have wanted a more NATO-friendly government in power that was not prepared to work so closely to Russia. And that could upset the whole regional situation. So in terms of the overall regional situation, the best solution may very well be that President Erdogan does win this election in order to create things to move ahead. But he's really got to do certain things internally to bring stability within the country after a highly contested election like this one.
Well, Hatem, Turkey and its relationship with some European countries and the U.S. Actually have been quite rocky, some will say, recently. Is it going to make a difference if Erdogan wins or if someone else wins as far as Turkey's relationship with Europe and the United States?
I think after the attempted coup in 2016, Turkey has become very hardened. I mean, people are very well, compared to before 2016, are more well united, are more calmer, and a better understanding of each other. However, the double standards that the Europeans, especially the West, when I say the West, the latest crisis is the F-35 deal, where Turkey owns a share of this project. It's not buying it, it's actually owning a share, and they're now trying to stop it. So these are all examples where the Germans did not supply spare parts for the Leopard tanks, and etc. When your closest NATO ally stabs you in the back or stabs you in the front, naturally Turkey is not the Turkey what it was 15 years or 20 years ago. Turkey's not your corner puppy dog or police in the region anymore. It is a power play, and you either accept it or not. And the instability of Turkey is the instability of the rest of Europe. So I think the Europeans should understand that any instability in this side of this geography is going to destabilize Europe as well. So I support and make it more constructive, or come against it so Turkey can go to other adversaries of the West, such as Russia and China, as they put it, as an example. So you've got to, and Turkey will not, Turkey will always try to be a middleman, you know, like a bridge, but don't push Turkey to the extreme where it just says, okay, I'm burning the bridges down. Mm. You know, that's the way it is here.
Okay, William Jones, your take on that direction, you think, now of Turkey. If Erdogan stays in power, that relationship with the West, do you think that it will warm back up or more separate, getting closer to Russia, or direction in your perspective?
Well, it probably depends more on the attitude of the Western nations more than on Turkey. Turkey has understood the overall dynamic of what's happening in the region, and that is that the other countries, the non-European countries, are now playing a major role both economically and politically, and that includes Russia and China as two of the bigger players. But also, if you look at what China is doing on this Belt and Road Initiative, building railroads through the region, Turkey now has put together, has synergized, so to speak, their middle corridor plans for building railroads in Turkey with the Belt and Road perspective. And most of the world is looking at this as the option for mankind. That is that the Western European model, the neoliberal economic model, is really falling apart. And look at conditions in Europe and conditions in the United States, and you see that that's the case. Now, Poverty Report has been released on the United States, which is absolutely shocking. And that what is going on, though, is the rest of the world around the Chinese-Russian collaboration are trying to rebuild the infrastructure, and Turkey's going to be a part of that. And Erdogan has committed himself to that. I don't know what the other leaders say about that, but I think if Turkey is to have a future, it has to go in that direction. And okay. The Europeans are ultimately going to have to be a part of it.
And on that note, that brings us to the end of the program. Of course, we're going to keep a close eye on Turkey tomorrow for those elections. Thank you very much for being with us out of Istanbul, Hatem Yavuz, political observer, and also out of Washington, D.C., William Jones from the Executive Intelligence Review. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us on another debate. I'm Marzia Hashimi, signing out for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran. See you next time.